Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. I'm uber excited right now because the support that you all have given me has just been immense. My YouTube channel has increased this week alone by 123%. You guys hit that bell and you meant it. Thank you so much for the support for all of my guests, because I have some amazing guests that I feel so fortunate and blessed to do what I do and share them with you. Today is no different. Lois Hollis and I have been battling technology. Technology is a joyous thing. It's beautiful if it runs and it's utilized correctly. I, on my own Oompa Loompa kind of way, can mess up technology just like everybody else. But yesterday we tried to YouTube it so she could be part of the YouTube series. And, you know, the feeds were just like, no, you need a longer conversation than 25 minutes. So today we get 45 minutes of her, and she talks about one of my favorite topics, guilt, shame, and learning how to self-love again. Because you know what? You can do this. You can self-love. You can learn to love the dark parts of you and the light parts of you and the silly parts of you, because, God, silly is good, right, Lois?
Yes, I agree. And thank you for a third chance.
Take three. It's all showbiz, babe, showbiz,
three.
Right?
Never give up. Never give up.
Never give up. I think that's the whole point of our message today, but I honestly believe, truthfully, that there are no coincidences and there's always a reason for the season, and you needed to have 45 minutes of chat time today. So welcome to my podcast.
Thank you. Are we okay with audio?
We are great with audio, I think.
Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah,
good.
I'm fine. Just checking the cook techie monster.
No, it's left the building for the day. I think it's on, you know, Memorial Day vacation.
Okay. How may I be of service?
Well, you can tell us who you are, what you do, and what makes you you.
Okay. Well, I have always been in the health field. I started as a nurse's aide. We call them candy stripers, 50, 60 years ago. I'm 77, so it's somehow 50 years doesn't seem long. But anyway, I started that time in the nursing field, and I continued, well, once a nurse, always a nurse. So the point of what my mission is that I've always been concerned about health and how I could help other people into health. And that is my MO. And probably because I had a very severe abusive childhood, which I didn't remember until I was 50. You know how that goes. You don't remember the bad parts, and you just put them away until you're 40 or 50, and then you fall down the hole of depression and suicide. So, yeah, that's where I was. And I had many broken bones. I had jaw fractures. I had 3 or 4 traumatic brain injuries. My neck was broken. So I had many, many broken bones. But somehow I achieved. It's very interesting how you can just achieve. And I started go ahead.
I think when you go through severe trauma like we've gone through, you're either a fixer or you're angry, right? And it just makes sense that this has been your path, your life journey. I mean, good gravy. Whoever did that to you, I hope that they figured out what made them so cool.
It is what it is. And I'm 77 now. So last year, I just got this image when my doctor finally fixed my neck, and I had a vision of someone holding my feet. I was like a year and a half old or something like that, too. Mm-hmm. I was young. And they were banging my head on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, well, no wonder my head was messed up and I had many traumas. Anyway, I had a near-death experience. So I died when they broke my neck. And God sent me back. And I didn't remember that either until my 50s. It was very interesting how I just was always talking to God and always felt that people did that. And I remembered that because in my journey of getting well, I talked to therapists. That's what, the first thing you do is talk to somebody when you want to commit suicide and you have three kids to raise. So I did a lot of talking to therapists, and I did feel better. I got a little handle on things, and I was still depressed and still didn't want to live too much, but I wasn't as strong in that negative. And I was like, I want to be okay. I don't want to just be surviving. And nobody could help me out, Rusty. Everybody said, oh, my goodness, you're doing so well. I'm going, okay, but I don't feel so well, but I'm functioning.
Right. You're showing the proverbial middle finger.
Pardon?
I said you're showing them the proverbial middle finger. It's like, no, I'm not.
Well, and they said, you're doing well, but you won't live past 50 or 55 because your injuries are that significant. Your kidneys are not working as well, and you can't breathe because you're crippled with the scoliosis and your lungs aren't expanding, and you have the mitral valve prolapse from your father. And so, and I had 30 years of migraines, which you take some medicines for, and that was interfering with my kidneys. So, they were kind of right. The fact that I was even walking around was a medical miracle. And so those sides
of your pictures alone, I struggle with. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Into a healthy, happy-looking woman, good on you.
It's a miracle. So anyway, I went to, I got thrown out of yoga class, They said, you're not a candidate, because I was like crippled. I'm like, oh, I can do yoga. Yeah, right. I couldn't turn my neck, and I couldn't go outside during the daytime. I remember I had to shop at night and that's true when people have brain injuries. They're really right. They're photosensitive. But I couldn't go out during the day. I could only go out at night. So the doctors weren't too wrong. So anyway, someone told me that I should visit this doctor in the West Coast, and I'm on the East Coast. And they said, why don't you just come for a visit? And I went, well, okay. So I did, and he's a chiropractor. He's sort of like a shaman chiropractor person. And he said, I can help you. And I laughed. Yeah, like everybody on the other side said, there's no way you can help me because your body is totally stuck. Like you can't turn your neck. You hardly can turn your body. But he said he can help me. And I went, he said, well, but you won't live long enough for me to help you with your bones. Your heart is more pressing. And I'm going like, yeah, I know. So he adjusted some things in my body. And I could breathe, and I went, wow, that is so interesting. So then I took a walk around Arizona, Sedona area, and I could walk up a hill. I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Well, long story short, eventually I moved to Sedona to be with this doctor. And he helped support me through my emotional healing, through the physical healing, which is the way to do it, but you need to do both bodies, which was amazing. Now, at that point, I got really tired of therapies, of talking to people and paying them money, and I didn't feel any better. So I decided to talk to myself instead of talking to other people. And guess what? Myself began to talk back to me. When I was depressed, I'd say, "Hi, depression. Thank you so much for coming to talk to me." And eventually, I found out that we have many parts inside of us who we talk to all the time, but we don't make them like people. So I was making them as part of me, like my depression was 10 years old and my anger was 8 years old and so forth and so on. And so I made friends with all of them. And as you said, the dark and the light, each emotion has a dark side and a positive side and a negative side. Like compassion is the positive and depression's the negative. Far as anger is the negative to the positive of your passion. So that's what I was able to click into. And once I made friends with my emotions, now that's called self-love. Because in my category, if I don't have someone to love, how can I have self-love? So I had my inner parts of me loving me and I loving them. So I was able to do self-love. Because I just couldn't really love myself. I could love the part of me inside of me, but I couldn't blanketly just love Lois. So that was the way
now,
for me to self-love.
Were you, like many of us who come from a very similar background, did you end up marrying into another version of abusive relationship, or did you find yourself lucky?
No, I married my chiropractor. So,
really?
You know, nobody's perfect, but I learned a lot.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I found was the inner critic. Everybody knows about the inner critic. And I had to make peace with the inner critic. We can't say, "Oh, don't worry about him, get rid of him, shut him up." I don't know what, you know, your audience has heard, but 90% of people just say, "Shut up the inner critic, kick him away, because he doesn't mean anything." Well, the inner critic is the key to your life. He's the star. He's the CEO of your personality. So you have to make friends with him. But the inner critic has learned how to protect you only by shame and guilt.
Right.
That's all he has. He's living in the wrong timeline. He's living in when you're 7, 8, 9 years old, and you're living in 2021. So you have to say, well, my inner critic's name was King, of course, right? So I said, "King, can you, like, come back to the 2021? You're living in 1960. You know, times have changed. I'm an adult now. I can really, you know, stop myself from accepting emotional abuse or physical abuse." And eventually, he changed his job from shame guilt producer. He now goes around the universe finding me podcasts.
Good.
He has a new job. And he's like my partner now. But, it didn't take 5 minutes. You know, we worked at it for months. And that's, to me...
Saying at the beginning of the interview, you know, it's really important to embrace and become part of the good, bad, and indifferent of who you are. And there's nothing shameful or bad about any aspect of who you are. It's just a fact of who you are. And I love that King is now out helping you proselytize all of the good work that you do.
So if I'm, and the shame guilt was the energy, it's an energy. If I can digress on that a little, but I come to learn all this, that shame guilt is an energy that turns our positive emotions into negative ones. Like, love is an energy, and what does love do? Love gives us joy and happiness, self-esteem, confidence, right? You know, that it's a source of all our positive feelings, compassion, empathy. But on the other side, we got shame, guilt, energy, and it's negative. And shame, guilt, energy doesn't belong to humanity. You'll find people say, oh, it's normal. It is not normal. It's common, and this is important. It's common, but it's not normal. Shame, guilt, energy does not belong to us. It's sort of like a parasite. How does that sit with everybody?
I think I struggle with it being an energy, but it makes sense to me listening to it.
Yeah, so it's, of course, that's a total mind reversal, and I wouldn't expect you to get it right away. But that's the reason why shame and guilt have been with us since Adam and Eve. Because they say shame is bad and guilt is good. You know, we need guilt to be moral. And I say, no, I'm doing things because it's the right thing to do, not because I'll be penalized, I'll feel guilty, and everything will go wrong. That's shame, guilt, energy.
Right.
Perhaps I can say it another way. Why I say shame, guilt. Shame is in the unconscious mind and guilt's in the conscious mind. I think everybody will agree on that one. How does that, is that, you know, because that's where it is.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to let you have the majority of the talk time.
Okay,
because
I just want some feedback.
I'm trying to be quiet.
So, shame is in the unconscious and guilt in the conscious, but it's the same thing. And they go, well, it has different names. So I'm saying, look, I've been in the medical field forever. If you have a bacteria in your brain, they call it meningitis. Okay?
Right.
If you have the same bacteria in your stomach, they call it gastritis. If you have the same bacteria in your lungs, they call it pneumonia. If you have the same bacteria in your colon, they call it colitis. Okay? But it's the same bacteria, only the location denotes its name. And that makes us very confused. So shame, guilt is an energy. And it doesn't matter where it's located. It just is an energy. So people are very frustrated, and it's really unfair that we can never get rid of guilt. I mean, I have people that come to me and says, I've done all these courses, and I've done all this work and all this healing, and I still have guilt. I must be so bad that I can't get rid of the guilt. And I'm saying to you, the only way you get rid of guilt is you have to get rid of the shame that's causing the guilt.
But don't you think don't you think that shame and guilt are just a man-made conception versus something that, see, for me personally, energy is something that is a life force. We are energy. We are 100% vibrational energy in my world.
Yes. Yes,
and
we are.
I think shame and guilt are just this mental contraption to have control over whatever the story is, you know.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Okay.
What happens,
so we're on the same page.
What happens when a negative energy, which is a virus, comes into your computer? you know, it goes
right.
It goes bad. It doesn't work properly.
Right.
I call it distorted. And the only way you can get your computer back is to get rid of the virus, virus removal. Okay, that's
right.
What shame, guilt, energy is. It's a negative energy that comes into our body since we are energy. We have meridian lines, energy lines. We are energy. We're energy beings. Humanity is an energy being. And when the negative energy of shame, guilt comes into us, it distorts us. It changes our mind. We're in confusion. It changes our emotions from positive to negative. It changes our physiological situation, like our lungs, our kidneys. They don't operate as effectively. And also, spiritually, it blocks our relationship to spirit, God, whatever religion you have. It's like God has a walkie-talkie, and you have a walkie-talkie or a cell phone. And the shame, guilt, energy is making distortion on the line. This
yeah,
is a whole different concept. When I lived in Sedona, I worked with several psychic people. And once they cleared the shame, guilt, energy that they were carrying, they had a much clearer psychic awareness and more their messages from spirit, from God, were much more clear.
Well, yeah, there's no interference there. I think innately humans like a second. Yeah, they like to second guess themselves anyway. And then when you add in another layer of shame or guilt,
why this is important, and it's going to take a little while for it to integrate. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years, and I finally understand it. So, you know, we're accomplishing a miracle here. Shame, guilt is an energy. And therefore, since it's an energy that's outside of us, we can get rid of it. That's what's important. It is not humanly necessary. We don't need shame, guilt energy. But shame, guilt, energy needs us. That's why it's so resistant. Like when you need food, you need food. There is a big push to get food when you're hungry. Okay? That's what shame, guilt, energy is. It's parasitic, and it feeds off of our energy. That's another long story. But shame, guilt, energy needs you. We don't need it. So
let's look at shame, guilt, energy as a wavelength or a vibration or however anybody wants to visualize it. I'm sure people understand that a little better now. What kinds of things can we do to acknowledge it, embrace it, and shoot it back out into the universe and say,
no, you don't embrace shame, guilt. Shame, guilt is like computer virus. You're like, oh, I love you, virus. No, I don't love you, virus. Get the heck out of here. But I do love my depression. I do love my inner critic, who's the shame guilt producer, and I do love my anxiety. I do love the hatred.
Okay, so
I love my
expand on that, because when I say embrace, I mean become aware, acknowledge, and understand that it's there, not necessarily hug it and bury it.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that's shame, guilt, energy. It's not of me. If you're going about your day and you go, oh, my God, I should have done that better. I'm so stupid. Okay, then you feel shame, guilt, like, oh, my God, I'm really bad. Okay, so what
stop
the key
my windows.
Is to step- Pardon?
I said, so stop the peeking key in my windows. How do you know I said that?
Yeah, everybody can relate to that. I do that all the time. Say, okay, shame, guilt, get away. That's not of me. I'm talking to I am stupid. Hi, I am stupid. What do you want me to say? What are you wanting to tell me today? So I'm helping people to separate from the shame, guilt, energy, but still talk to the negative part of themselves. And if we can just learn that one thing today, it sort of helps you to say, shame, guilt doesn't belong to me, but my negative emotions do. And once I can help my negative emotions turn to positive, we got it made.
So negative emotions to me, I realized working with my own trauma, I think negative emotions and negative reactions are just my protective layer trying to prevent myself from any further damage from anybody else, kind of like a little Viking warrior goddess who has a sword out. Anybody comes near, she's just swinging, you know? And
well,
I think it's very
difficult. You could also name it your smarts, your intelligence.
Right, exactly.
You've learned.
But it's a balance.
Yeah, your negative emotions have taught you wonderful things. But they're part of your positive, because all our emotions have a positive orientation and a negative orientation. So by all your wonderful work that you've done, you've made your emotions be positive and supportive. But they're really, you know, they're more positive than negative. But I have my emotions have names, you know, Gertrude and sweetheart and king, and they all have names. So I don't call them the negative part or the positive part. They're just my kids. I have a DVD on my website. It's called Out of Discord into Harmony, and it's me talking to all my emotions, if anybody would be interested in seeing that, how you do that.
I'd love to see that. Yeah.
It's Out of Discord, D-I-S-C-O-R-D, into Harmony.
I love it.
That's why I went to film school, because I was able to see all this inside of myself and also into other people. And people said, Lois, I don't know what you're talking about. This is so bizarre. So I said, oh, I'll just make a film to show what I do. That was a very difficult decision, but I eventually did it. So it's 20 minutes, and it's you can get it on my YouTube channel.
Over here to the right, or maybe even below, depending on if you're on your cellular device versus your computer. You'll see all of her links below. And you also have a complimentary book that I want to touch on, because we have 27 minutes left, believe it or not, my dear. That doesn't,
oh,
it goes by fast. I know.
You've noticed.
I can see that.
Shame and guilt, we can talk forever, but it's not of us. It's an outside energy. And we can kick it the heck out of our personality. Shame, guilt, energy only has one flaw. It dissolves in detection, like the Wizard of Oz. Remember when Dorothy pulls the curtain back and she's this little guy with a big horn and all these instruments making smoke, fire, and noise? That's the inner critic. And that's really shame, guilt, energy. Its bark is much worse than its bark.
That inner critic. Yeah. We create something much larger with that credit.
Because shame, guilt is expansive. It does that to us. When we're in shame, guilt, everything is magnified, like, oh, my God. You know, like 1,000. It's energy. As you know, energy just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm telling you, like, that's this show. it don't mean that. So you collapse it by saying, get away, you're nothing. And then you work on your emotions, negative emotions, depression, anxiety, or whatever. I don't give a darn. Whatever the emotion calls yourself, you talk to it. So that's a way of kicking shame, guilt, energy out.
And you've discovered that it's energy. I can dig that. And I can dig the fact that it resonates and changes your molecular value. All right, guys, I'm going to get a little nerdy. But the molecular or cellular value of your body changes because you're not feeding it the positive energy. And literally, positive energy will make you younger, will, you know, keep your heart young. Laughter keeps you young. Same kind of concept. Negativity kind of weighs you down. It's like a smokestack on top of your soul, right? But it also weighs down your organs. So when you're going through the process of releasing each organ from this hostage negotiation, which was self-perpetuated, describe tips and tricks that people can actually look at and be like, okay, I can do this. It's a small baby step, but I can do this.
First baby step, first, shame guilt is an energy. There's no difference between shame or guilt. They're both, there's no healthy poison. So people say, oh, guilt is good and shame is bad. You go, no, there's no healthy poison. Okay, go away. Shame, guilt, energy is negative. Is negative. That's all it is. And it doesn't belong to humanity. So we just kick it out and say, you're not here. Then work on your emotions. I'm not saying don't talk to depression or anxiety. They are your soul. Your emotions are part of your soul. So they're really important. And when my depression was 12 years old, when she healed, I got 12-year-old energy. And you're right. You get younger when you do this work because you're actually getting rid of the negative energy of shame, guilt, and getting the positive energy of compassion. Your emotions are feeding you. Your emotions are your life force energy. So we just want to take the shame and guilt off of them, and then they're positive again. That's all there is. It's shame, guilt is just like a cloth put upon humanity, and we just take it off and throw it back. Now,
but what were the steps of you taking it off? I want to give people tools that when they stop listening today, they can turn around and say, okay, I'm going to do this step in hopes of taking this sheath of shame, guilt off of me. What kinds of steps?
Well,
action.
Shame, guilt is located in our personality parts. It's in us, but it's inside of our emotions, depression, anxiety. So we have to go one step deeper and talk to our emotions, and they release the shame, guilt. Then we talk. The main thing is talking to the inner critic. The first step you would do is talk to the inner critic and negotiate. Don't use shame, guilt, energy anymore, because I'm an adult and you needed to do that as a kid. Can you just do another job? Because unless your inner critic stops giving shame, guilt, that's his job. That's his job. So no matter what work you do, unless you get the inner critic on your side, you're going to have shame, guilt all the time. Because he's the producer. That's his job. He will always produce it until he changes his job. And if you look at that out of discord into harmony, you see how it's done. I mean, that's hard to talk it. But if you can visualize it and see it, I think you'll get a lot from it. So I think that would be the first part, is for people to look at that DVD and see how you can talk with your emotions. Also,
and when
I have...
When you talk with your emotions, do you have fun with it? Or do you nag it? Or do you tell them to fuck off?
So
what do you do?
It's so joyous. It's like, this is the...
Okay.
It is the most funnest thing to do because it's you and you just cry and laugh. It's just it's the best thing there is, to talk to yourself. I mean, the only way you're going to get healing is actually talk to yourself and be with yourself. You can talk to other people. That's step number one. But talking to other people is not going to bring you into healing. You got to heal yourself. You got to heal the emotions inside of you that were injured. They're the ones that got injured through emotional abuse. they're just waiting for you to say, hi, I'm here to help. I mean, it sounds like, is that simple? Yes, it is. It's that simple. And this is not unusual because people do parts therapy now, but they don't involve the inner critic. And I don't understand why, because the inner critic is the CEO.
So let's switch gears a little bit because we're running out of time, and I want to dig in a little bit more as to who you are as an individual on this planet. When did you start going to film school? What age were you?
I was probably 65 or 66, something like that.
Damn, girl.
I know. It was like, well, I was given lectures on all this wonderful talking of to the emotions, and people were saying, Lois, I don't know what you're saying. I did not realize that through the near-death experience I had when I was like 5 or 6, I talked to God all the time and I saw things, but I thought everybody did. And then when I found out that that's why I see things, people aren't going to be able to see things until I make a film. So I said, I have to go to film school to make this film, to show people how to talk to themselves. And that's why I went to film school.
So hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Hi, caller from area code 605. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I hear you. No, I just got here. I saw your show. I was curious. I wanted to find out what it was about, living with Rusty. So I'm here to find out. You can put me back on mute.
All right, sir. I'll mute you. Thanks, sir. All right. I have tons of questions for you, and I'm good at that. So 65 years old and you're taking a film class. Good on you.
Yeah.
Come on now. That's the bomb. Was it a traditional film class, like old black and white reels like I would have taken?
Oh,
or
it was
more,
hard.
You know, late technology? Huh?
It was like all the stuff that I don't even know, understand. Camera work and DGDs and film editing and all that. I mean, it was mainly 17, 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds. I was like, grandma's coming. So, but no, because like I didn't know tech like that. I mean, seriously, it was tough. So what I did was I made a deal with the other students because they had problems with their project about the storyline, how to make a story and the ending and how to, you know, more academics in that way. So I would help them with their story revisions and how it progressed, and they would help me with technology. That's how I went to film school.
I think it's amazing, and to be really, really blunt, our generation, I'm freshly 45, and you're a little older than I am, but my generation is the last generation to play outside. We had phones that connected to the wall. We didn't have all this technology and all of these weird things, and I personally am a fan of technology.
I'm 77.
I know. That's why I'm just enthralled with the fact that you said, screw it, I'm going to learn it, even though, you know, you grew up playing outside, not connected to technology. So kudos to you. I think that is a testimony of who you are as an individual to do what you need to do to get it done. I love it.
And shame, guilt held me back. But that was a good thing. Like I went, okay, go away. I can't do what you do. I'm not stupid because I can't do that. I just don't know that. My brain is not there. But I am really good at storytelling. That is good. I am really good at that. I lived a lot of years. I know a lot of stuff. So I helped them develop their story, and they helped me. And then I did sessions on all of them because once they heard my work, then they all their stuff came forward, and I had to do sessions with everybody. Because they were, you know, all their negativity came out, and I had to do sessions with them like I do with people, and then so the whole film class profited by me being in there.
I think that's wonderful. You are a path maker, a change maker, an amazing woman. And I'm so grateful that you stumbled across me.
Yeah, I created the first kidney unit in the United States in Philadelphia, hemodialysis unit. So I've always been
really?
A thirsty person. I mean, I don't know anything else. So for me to say Shane Gilton Energy, and nobody
in
else
our
says
last few
it,
minutes.
I'm going
Okay, in our last few minutes, talk to us a little bit about that. That's huge as well. You were in Philadelphia and you created the first what? I'm sorry?
Kidney hemodialysis unit. You know, before you get a transplant, they put you on the kidney dialysis machine so your
yeah.
kidneys can keep work. So you can work artificially and your kidneys don't work, you're dying. And then I created.
So when was this and how did you accomplish such a feat? I mean, people are alive because of that.
That's true. I was in the nursing field and I didn't like the nursing field, the nursing part of it. So I just did private duty. And then someone said, you know, we have an experimental, we have interesting things happening here at Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, it's a big college in Pennsylvania. And we do intestinal dialysis and we have some grants. Are you interested in that? And I said, okay. And I really liked it because I can do nursing and I can do care of patients. I can teach and I can do something that's different. And it was really a chutzpah for me because I went into the unit and we had to do IVs and all sorts of things. So this is 60 years ago. Nurses did not do IVs. They only gave out medicines and stuff. So I told the president of the hospital that I cannot be under nursing service if I'm going to be affiliated with this unit. So he said, fine, we'll let you do what you need to do, and you can answer only to me. And I says, okay, I'll do that. So I was really the first nurse practitioner, really. So anyway, we got a grant for the hemodialysis from the government, and we were putting together the hemodialysis machines and learning how they worked and how they can we can put patients on them. And then after the cost became so great, we started home dialysis and how to teach patients how to do the hemodialysis by themselves and then visit them at home how they could do it. So there's always a way to do something.
Well, and I think if you can overcome or at least use your personal stuff, you know, shame, guilt, your fears, your inner little devil, whatever you want to call it, if you can use it as a stepping stone or a throwing stone, depending on the scenario, you can actually be quite successful.
Of course. Humanity is extremely successful. But may I say, when we talk, we don't say my shame, guilt. You call it the, because we can't own it. Okay? You can own your emotions, but never own the shame, guilt. Say the shame, the guilt. And another
thing
that people become is, oh, it's such a shame it's rained today. I have a picnic to go to. No, it's not a shame. It's sad or it's unfortunate. But never use shame in your normal conversation because you don't want to call that energy into your life.
I love it. We are winding down. Where can we find more information about you? I'd like you to verbally get it for those people who are driving through Boston or major city trying to cruise home on a Memorial weekend when traffic is high and they're sitting here going, I've got nothing better to do. I'm going to listen to Rusty and her friends.
The best thing to do is just go to my website, Lois, L-O-I-S, Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S.com.
Perfect. And that's where you can find her book. And what is the complimentary book again?
Well, we have two. One is 500 Questions, One Answer. And I show 500 ways shame, guilt is we do shame guilt behaviors. We all do because we don't know any better. That's how we were taught. Not a bad thing. It's just we have to know them. How can you get rid of shame guilt unless you know it? You have to know your enemy. Shame guilt's our enemy, so know thy enemy. So I have 500 ways that our enemy attacks us. And you can get that through my email. And the other book is Now is the Time. These are my writings from Spirit. I've been so blessed to receive. And that puts you in a frequency where shame guilt does not live. So anytime you're feeling shame guilt, go get that book and read it. And it, the way the words are made, it stops the shame guilt from coming into you.
You had mentioned, I don't know if it was in your voicemail or an email. I don't know. I get inundated, as you can imagine. But you had mentioned that you had heard about me before, or somehow you stumbled across the show. I'm curious, always curious.
I have had like 70, 80 podcasts in like 6-7 months. And people say, who was your, podcast person or scheduler? And I said, God. I mean, I just found them. So God found you. I don't know how God found you and sent them to me, but people think that might be corny, but hey, he's been running my life so far and it's been working.
I know. Amen to that. Well, I have to share with you that I feel very blessed that you shared your story, and I'm grateful that you survived and God threw you back a few times. He goes fishing every now and then, doesn't he? And I'm excited about what you've accomplished and what you've done. I mean, you're a go-getter. You do what you've got to do, and that in itself is inspirational. But larger than that, you've survived so much, and you're a joy. So thank you so much.
And my new film's coming out. I'm good.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk. We have like 5 minutes, so talk about the film, and then we got
to
wrap up.
I will email it to you. Rusty, it's called I'm Good, and I'm making shame guilt energy visible so people can believe what I see.
All right, so give us a little bit more about I'm Good. What is the premise?
Well, I'm Good is in three parts, and I talk about exactly what I'm talking to you about, how it is an energy and how it affects us. And also the second part will be examples of how shame guilt energy affects us emotionally. And then the third part, it's me talking with my inner critic.
That's awesome.
So,
yay. And your work, let me know. I would love to have you on again or I'm trying to get out to Arizona. I've been trying for 3 years, so hopefully if I finally get out there, I'll talk to you.
I live in North Carolina now.
Shut up. Where?
Outside of Asheville. You're not far from
Charlotte.
Charlotte? Not too much, a couple hours.
North or south?
I'm not too far from Charlotte, North Carolina.
I'm going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, doing a TV series next week. That's what I was asking.
Oh, send me an email.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Boy, isn't that the way God works. I love it. I love this stuff. It's so amazing.
It is?
All right.
Like, you know.
You, my
bless
friend,
you. Thank
keep
you.
Doing what you're doing. And bless you. And I'm just so grateful you've landed here. And I'm glad that we were finally able to share you and all of you in such a beautiful way. So thank you so much for being on today.
And thank you. And let's stay in touch.
Amen. I'd love that. You're listening to Living in Friday. I'm Rusty, and I get to do this. This is amazing. Did you hear her? She is a kick-ass woman. She got it done. And she's helping you get it done. So check out her website, LOISHOLLIS.com. And the first thing that pops up is her book. Help me here. It is, I already forgot what it is. It's One Question, 500 Possibilities, something like that. But when it pops up, you'll know what it is. LOISHOLLIS.com.
And I have a feeling that she's going to be on again in the future. Great breaking news to all of you who are listening live. I was just asked to be a guest judge for a huge event. It's a speak-off, so there's going to be a number of speakers, sensational speakers, like a TEDx almost, but I have to judge them. Are you kidding me? That's so scary, because I'm sure they're all really phenomenal and amazing. Tough job I have coming up, June 11th. You'll have to check that out on my events page. Know that you're beautiful. Know that you're loved. Know that little tiny steps make a big impact, whether they're for yourself, for your family, for your friends, or even for a stranger. I think it's huge for you guys to pay attention to the future. And be kind. There's so much ugly in the world right now. Let's not feed into that. Buy somebody a cup of coffee. Pay for somebody's happy meal. Whatever it is that you want to do. It doesn't have to be flamboyant. It doesn't have to be social media friendly. Just do something nice, because you know what? You can actually change the trajectory of somebody's life. You could actually save somebody's life by interrupting their sadness or their shame or their guilt or whatever is going on in their head right then and there. Know that you're loved, and I'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to Living and Thriving.